much. I love you. Mamba out.
Good morning and welcome back to HY Sports here on VIC Radio. I'm your host, Josh Hobbs, and joined with me in studio is my lovely co-host, Parker Hollandoner. Parker, my friend, welcome back to another episode of HQI Sports here on a Sunday morning, 11 a.m. here in studio, and I am fired up to be talking about some sports. But before we get into anything on the docket today, Parker, how are we feeling today?
I'm doing great. I just realized that I kind of feel like Colin Cowherd on these Saturdays, on these Sundays, because you know how at the beginning of every block he announces which hour it is of
his
show?
Yep.
Hour three, because I feel like coming into HQI, I'm like, hour three, let's go, baby.
If you've been here since, you know, the start of weekend sports shows here on VIC, you will know that Parker is definitely putting in the time every Sunday as he is.
Hey, I can't do play-by-play, but gosh, can I talk?
No, you are VIC's most loyal sports talk host.
I love this network. Let's go.
Yeah.
But I will say it has been an absolutely crazy week to be a sports fan. It's been a great week to be a Baltimore fan, if I'm being totally honest.
Oh, yeah?
There's a little bit of extra news. I don't know. Are we picking the Ravens-Browns game later?
Because
it was just announced that Deshaun Watson's not playing. So.
True, and it's going to be Dorian Thompson.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who is a stud, if we're being honest.
But he's no Deshaun. Deshaun looked good last week. That's my point.
I would say it's not as much of a line mover as people think. I'm excited to see what Vegas does in response to this, because it was Ravens plus 2.5. I'm guessing it goes up to Ravens. I'm guessing Ravens go up to like -1. I guess it's pure pick 'em.
I'd still think the Ravens, honestly, if Deshaun would have started, I probably would have still picked the Ravens in that game. But I still think this game,
more than likely,
I don't see any team scoring more than 20 points, honestly.
I think that's definitely fair.
It's a classic like AFC North, like we're just going to be like running in the mud and just like punching each other by the end of the game.
I love it.
It's like every division.
It's the most true thing I've ever heard.
Anyway,
everyone keep your helmets on, please.
All right, we'll get to the NFL discussion a little bit later in the show, but I do want to start with the biggest story of the week so far, and that is Damian Lillard no longer a Portland Trailblazer. Finally, we actually got some actual news about Damian Lillard. I feel like I've landed on the Damian Lillard trade news for like 3 years, and we finally got it a couple days ago.
We knew he wasn't going to be a Blazer anymore. We just didn't know when.
Well, I won't even say. I mean, at that point in the offseason, me thinking about Damian Lillard had come down so much. Like I'd stopped thinking about the trade, honestly, but we finally got confirmation. Damian Lillard is now a Milwaukee Buck, teaming with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Sure.
Damn, you almost nailed it. I worked on that for 2 minutes before the show started. I still got it wrong. Anyway, Damian Lillard now in Milwaukee, teaming up with Giannis. Portland now gets Jrue Holiday, but they will soon move him. And they also acquired DeAndre Ayton from the Suns.
Before we get into whatever your overall question is, where do you think where do you think Jrue ends up? Because I have like a sinking feeling.
So
it's going to be a New York or a Boston or something gross.
So I think I have two teams for you. I think the team that would make the most sense, I think, would be just the overall best fit for Jrue would be the Miami Heat, and it sounds like that's probably not going to happen. The team that sounds like would be the favorite, and honestly would probably be my second pick for Jrue to go to, is the Philadelphia 76ers, because they are looking for someone to probably replace Harden, as Harden is definitely making it clear that he wants out the door in Philly. And you put Jrue Holiday in that offensive system combined with Embiid, I think it just makes the team that much more, you know, it would make the team run a lot more smooth. Plus, the defensive potential of that team, if you have Jrue Holiday as your lead point guard and Embiid on your back line, and you got guys like P.J. Tucker to fill out the rest of the squad, as well as guys like Tyrese Maxey. Obviously, Philly would still have a lot more I think Philly still needs to acquire some talent, but Jrue Holiday would make that team really, really interesting heading into next year. Where would you like to see Jrue Holiday, honestly, Parker?
Jrue Holiday... Honestly, I love the Miami Heat pick. I think he fits so well in that culture.
Yeah.
He's a winner. Honestly, he was the second best player on that Bucks team. I don't care how much people love Chris Middleton. He was. He's a better defender, and he's arguably a better shooter. I'm just such a big Jrue Holiday guy. I would love to see him move somewhere like the Pelicans, where I think he can contribute to real winning change.
Okay.
Like I that's what I always come back to. I always come back to those fringe teams like the Timberwolves, like those kind of teams.
Don't go to Minnesota.
Don't
please.
Go to Minnesota.
Don't
like,
go to Minnesota.
But that style of team where they really just need that guy who is the veteran leader. Now if I could pick a dream scenario, get to the Cavs for cheap. Get whatever picks they have
they
left
got
to
Garland
give.
And Mitchell. He wouldn't even start.
But I think positionless basketball is in such a way that extra defender, that wing defender, would be so useful alongside Mobley needing to get better as a defender in that center.
They could almost run a 3-point guard set where you have Garland as like the primary, like he's like the scoring guard. You have Holiday as the two, and then The only thing is that Mitchell is so small. I don't
but
know
you
if
run,
that
you
work.
Then run Mobley and Allen as your size.
It'd be like the first three players in your lineup be like 6'1", and then the rest of the lineup is like 7 feet.
That'd Do you think you could get another three team? You'll get Drew and then move one of your guards for a lot.
Probably not, just based off of the value that people are asking for Drew. But you're actually
I'm being too much of a
you
homer.
Got me off topic actually for what my main question was going to be for this segment.
Is it who won the trade?
Is Milwaukee now the favorites to win the title next year?
According to Vegas, no. I have them. I have them absolutely. According to Vegas, absolutely not.
Oh,
according to Vegas, it is. I believe Nuggets, Lakers. Nuggets, Lakers, Bucks.
Lakers over Milwaukee.
I think. Let me double check.
That would be crazy.
Let me double check real quick because that's what I'm pretty sure it is.
I haven't checked the latest Vegas odds. I'll let Parker do
that
right now.
They are the favorites to win the East. So if you consider if you consider that the West beats each other up enough that whoever makes it out of the East will win, then fair. But I am. I'm not sure I'm there yet.
So here's where I'm at. As you quickly check the Vegas odds, I think Milwaukee heading into next year most certainly should be the favorite in the East. Although obviously the top of the East is still to be like, there's still some great teams at the top of the East. Obviously Miami is always going to be contending. Boston will be in there. Philly will be in there. I mean, I'm not saying Milwaukee's just not. They're not going to just run through the conference, but. If here's the thing. I think the combination of Damian Lillard and Giannis will work, not just purely based off of how they fit each other, like with their play styles. I think their mentalities and their personalities, I think, also very much. Well, wait, what are you looking at?
Hello, updated odds where the Milwaukee Bucks are now the favorites
to
win the title.
I thought the Milwaukee would be the favorite.
That's not it's not what it was a couple days ago. People have gotten even higher on this move ever since it happened. It's now Bucks, Nuggets, Celtics, Suns.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I think the Suns are being a little bit overrated, but in terms of I was previously saying.
Yeah, sorry for interrupting.
No, Damian Lillard and Giannis, I think their combination is going to work beautifully. Not just because I think their play styles will work, but I think also their personalities are very much similar. I'm not sure how much we're honestly going to be expecting of Chris Middleton to be next season. Obviously, he had a little bit of a down year last year, but that was probably due to injury. So if they're able to get, you know, steady production from Chris Middleton, like what he did back in 2020 or 2021, there's no reason the Bucks shouldn't be running through the Eastern Conference next year.
I think that is totally fair. I've especially been looking at the bracket. The only team that can stop them is the Heat. And unless the Heat make the move, like getting a Drew Holiday or something along those lines, they need to get better in order to contend with this. The other thing that could stand in the way, because this is the other thing that's been weighing on me, is I don't know how the chemistry is going to work. With Milwaukee. I think there's a good chance it works great. But we got to keep in mind, this is a rookie head coach, and this is players that haven't played together even though they like each other. They have talked in the past several times about wanting to play together, so that is absolutely a thing. But these guys have not played together outside of probably a few all-star teams. And then what it comes down to is they fill each other in each other's weaknesses greatly. Dame's biggest weakness is defense. Giannis is arguably one of the three best defenders in the league. On the other side of it, Giannis' biggest weakness is his shooting, especially mostly from the free throws, but jump shooting in general. He's not nearly as good at that. And Dame is arguably a top 5 shooter in the league and arguably a top 15 shooter all time.
And arguably probably the best deep threat shooter in all of basketball, apart from Steph Curry.
I was going to say. But again, when it comes to shooting, everything is except for Steph Curry.
Yeah.
So that's not even fair to Dame.
I'm already visualizing the pick and roll combinations you can do with this lineup next year.
Disgusting.
Dude, can you imagine? You can have Giannis be the ball screener and him roll to the rim, who is going to stop Giannis off a roll of pick and roll? Or you can flip it and use Middleton as your screener and use him as a screen and pop guy.
Yeah.
I mean, the offensive potential, if they're able to work out the chemistry, is truly, I mean, it's right up there with Phoenix in terms of how great it can be. So
absolutely. I gotta sprinkle in at the end there. I'm sorry, and then I'll let you wrap it up. The last thing I'll say is I'm worried about coming in too high on another team like this. It's the same as Brooklyn. It's not a super team. Absolutely not a super team. But I am concerned about coming in too high on the new favorites.
No, and I definitely hear that. The only reason why I'm not having that same feeling as I did with Brooklyn, because I have my worries with Brooklyn from the moment that team got put together.
Fair.
The reason why I feel a lot more confident in this move is because of who the star players are. You don't have a guy like Harden, which we all know how inconsistent he can be, or a guy like Kevin Durant, although I literally love Kevin Durant to death. Kevin Durant has even said himself he doesn't like being a leader on a team. But guys like Damian Lillard and guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo, they're guys that are team-first guys that have loads of talent. So I'm not too worried about a Brooklyn situation happening in Milwaukee. But we got to wrap, go to our next story here, and that is talking more about the team that has truly,
you and I are going to war.
Truly fallen from grace in just 2 weeks alone, and that is the Colorado Buffaloes of college football losing once again yesterday, 48-41 to USC. Definitely made a comeback at the end there, but still took the L to Caleb Williams, who threw 6 touchdowns and in that win yesterday. Oh my God! You see some of the highlight videos from that game?
Caleb looks so good,
dude. That should actually be the main story from this. I mean, how good
you
is
and
Caleb?
I know that we're going to disagree on some stuff throughout this segment specifically. We're going to push and pull on each other with some stuff. What we're not going to disagree on, Caleb Williams is so good, and I hope he doesn't end up as a frickin' Bear or Bronco.
What team at this point in the NFL season would you just? What would be the icing on the cake for Caleb? Like, what team, if you could have it anyway, would Caleb Williams go to?
I don't like it. I think he fits best on something along the lines of a Giants or... The actual best case scenario, I think he would fit on the Giants. I think that's, like, a sneaky contender to get him.
Okay.
If I could drop him anywhere, Vikings. Immediately.
That would be an interesting one.
Trade Kirk Cousins, get a fourth for him for a team that really wants a bridge quarterback.
Can you imagine the combo of Caleb Williams and Justin Jefferson?
And he gets Saribi reunited with Jordan Addison. Dude.
Make it happen.
You cannot
make it
write
happen,
it.
Minnesota.
You can't write this. It needs to. Like, honestly, they should throw the games against the Panthers, is all I'm saying. But that would go badly. But, keep going on your USC-Colorado stuff, because I know eventually you're going to say something that I have to push back against.
No, I know we want to talk a little bit about Deion, but I don't want to spend too much time, because obviously Deion's been in the news so much lately, but it is important. I do want to discuss this, because he definitely had some interesting, I wouldn't call him controversial, but I would say he has some interesting conference in the post-game press conference, saying that anyone who's sleeping now in Colorado is basically just a hater and, you know, needs to wake up and realize what they're actually building in Colorado, which, again, I always come down to this conclusion with Deion. I respect where he's coming from, but, like, you also lost the game. I mean, you were down, like, 35-7 in the third quarter in this one. Like, there also has to be some accountability, which he does. I mean, he definitely is accountable when he's asked certain questions at postgame. But Parker, I want to just get a feel on what you're feeling in terms of where Deion is now that he's lost two games, now that he's definitely feeling a little bit more pressure from the media in terms of not winning as much at Colorado. Is this something that we need to be concerned about, or is this something that was probably going to be expected?
I think the only people who are like overreacting to this loss are the people who overinflated their hopes based on the pedigree of who it is.
That's fair.
Like,
that's fair.
My whole thing, like, especially because you texted me last night, like, with the Deion's a fraud kind of stuff, which is a totally fair take to have if you are someone who really disliked the press attention.
When I say fraud, yeah. I just mean in terms of, I mean, after those first two games, people were ready to get, like, Deion tattoos on
Totally fair. Like, he was overhyped.
He was almost becoming a cult hero in Colorado.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I think that is totally fair to say that they were overreactions, but I think everyone in our industry knew that it was overreactions. No one, there were some people who were very much overreacting, saying, oh, they're going to be a top 10 team, oh, they're going to be in the college football playoff. I toyed with the idea, but I never thought it was actually going to happen, especially not this year, the first year with the system.
Yeah.
I think, but what I have settled on is people now see what this Colorado team is, because as much as they did lose, and it was the overhype coming back, you got to keep in mind, they stayed in that game the entire time. They were down 20 at half and lost by a touchdown. Like, they were in a position at halftime to get rocked in this game. And they came back, they kept fighting. There is no quit in this team, which means that that the coaching staff has them with their heads on, right? And honestly, at this point, I put them around the same place that I put Auburn. Yeah. I think they are dangerous, and at any point, they can beat anybody.
Well, and they have easily two of the most talented players in college football.
Hunter
and
didn't play, though, right?
Well, yeah, I was about to say, they didn't even have one of them in that game. So I honestly think Colorado will be – it's tough. I still think they're going to be losing at least a couple more games during the season. But for anyone who's, like, jumping off the Deion wagon completely, I think it's a little bit too far. I think Deion is finally kind of coming back to reality, and it honestly kind of makes me happy because I can't see – the one thing that really drives me crazy as a former player is when the coach gets put on a pedestal so high that it's like he pretty much overtakes the team. That's where I was kind of getting frustrated with the whole Deion thing. But anyway, we're going to move on to our next thing on the docket here for our starting five.
We got to speed up.
These next two are quick, though. So,
yeah, that's true.
In more Raider news, which have just, I mean, it feels
can
like
the
every...
Raiders have a year off?
No,
please?
No, they're in Vegas.
Like last year they were doing
fine.
They did this
to themselves when they moved their team to Las Vegas. I'm sorry. And plus, I'm a Chiefs fan, so I'm allowed to handle the Raiders. But
that's fair. Last year it looked like they were finally going to be clean, and then they messed up everything with Derek Carr. Go ahead.
All right, so we got two things with the Raiders coming into the day. So Aiden O'Connell will make his first official start as a Raider, their fourth round draft pick from this past year's draft, with Jimmy G on the concussion protocol, and then also, we've finally gotten, the grand update on the Chandler Jones situation. Now that he's been arrested in Las Vegas, he has officially been released by the Las Vegas Raiders as well. So, I don't really know, honestly, where I was kind of going with this whole thing, but what is going on with the Raiders? Like, is there any, like, because you're right. It feels like every single year we're constantly talking about the Raiders, and with they're just got tons of controversy going on. I'm actually the only interesting thing from this is that I'm actually really interested to see how Aiden O'Connell plays in this game, because let me tell you, Jimmy G has been not impressive so far.
No, let me just sprinkle in. We'll move on. We'll do this very quickly. I'm just gonna say I like the Raiders' chances to win better now.
Really?
Jimmy G is way too costly with the mistakes, and Aiden O'Connell, we knew this coming in, we knew this in camp, we knew this in preseason, he's a stud. I don't know if he's a starter, I don't honestly think he's a starter, but I think he is one of the most high-end backups in the league, or at least he will be, and I think he's up against the Chargers defense that gives way too much away. I like Davante Adams to have a good game, I like Josh Jacobs to finally have a good game. I like the Chargers to seriously overlook this because they're not seeing Jimmy Garoppolo, an established quarterback, on the other side of it. So I like Aiden O'Connell, not necessarily to win, but definitely to cover.
Well, and plus, if anyone knows the history of what happens in Chargers and Raiders games, it's usually the Chargers are blowing it right at the end.
Yep.
No matter what quarterback they're facing. So
you guys want to tie? You guys want to agree to tie this? Let me call a timeout and actually try to pull the rug out from under you.
Oh my goodness! All right, last thing here before we move on to trivia. The Bears, once again, are not looking good as they officially bench Chase Claypool after his recent comments on the team saying that they are not using him correctly. I mean,
do you disagree,
my
though?
Goodness. No, well, I don't. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't really disagree with anything that is coming out of the players' mouths in Chicago. But the real problem is
that it's happening.
Why is it even happening?
Yeah.
It's the start of the season. This is supposed to be a season that you're supposed to have MVP candidate Justin Fields. You have Matt Eberflus as your D corner, so your defense is supposed to be solid. It isn't. You bring in guys like Chase Claypool and DJ Moore. They're already talking bad about your team. So I don't know exactly what the correct solution is in Chicago. Maybe you got to fire Matt Eberflus. Maybe you got to look at GM Ryan Poles and say, hey, I don't know why you're making these decisions, but what can you identify as, you know, at least the big overarching problem in Chicago right now?
The problem in Chicago overall, honestly, is the ownership. The ownership has been the one who have put these GMs. Actually, a YouTuber I adore, Tom Grassi, he's a Packers fan, did a deep dive on like what the last 10 years have looked like for the Bears. And the way ownership worked is the president was put in place by the owner with the rule that he would only answer to the owner himself, and that's it.
Right.
And he's got put GM after GM in place who have made boneheaded moves, and they keep getting coaches who aren't quite ready, and they don't fire coaches in season because they have to save face. And they're too needy to defend their own decisions that they can't agree that they made bad ones and move on. So I don't think the players are the problem.
I think that's fairly accurate, yeah.
And so my whole thing with Claypool is I'm very on his side because I don't know if he's great. But I do know that I saw flashes in Pittsburgh, and when he got moved, I was a little sad about it. But the reason he's flaring up like this is how tough is it to go from one of the best, most stable, not necessarily high upside, but one of the most stable, most like understanding good coaching staffs in all of football,
yep,
under Mike Tomlin, whether you like Matt Canada or hate him, I hate him, but they're stable, they win, like they don't always go all the way, but they win a lot.
Yep.
Like, and then you go to Matt Eberflus and this offense, and we're not even going to get into the defensive coordinator situation. It's a mess.
It's an absolute mess.
And it stinks from the very top.
Tell you what team could kind of use maybe a forgotten receiver that has been already talking bad about their organization.
If the Chiefs get Claypool, very similar to the Juju move. Claypool is an elite route runner, specifically.
Well, and he's also just 6'4" and runs a 4.4.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I don't care if he talks bad about the team. Like, I want a guy like Claypool on the Chiefs. But
let's get to trivia.
Anyway, we got to go to trivia, and we're going to be going a little bit on the baseball route this time because, obviously, Parker has been – I will give you a tremendous amount of respect right now. You have been on the baseball grind this year. I mean, partly because the Orioles have been playing so well this year.
I've watched
which,
like 60 baseball games this year.
Hey, that's about 60 more games than I've watched. So
don't say that before next segment.
No. Well, I honestly don't have much time to watch baseball just regularly.
That's
but,
fair. You're busy.
But anyway, baseball question for Parker today. Although, because we're going to be talking about a lot about the Orioles in the next segment because we're going to be doing our playoff breakdown. But we're going to be talking about, because we don't usually have time to talk about it, we're going to talk about the Kansas City Royals for their trivia question.
Oh, no.
Because when's the last time we talked about the Kansas City Royals? We don't want to talk about the Royals. But we had a incredible moment happen a few days ago where Bobby Witt Jr., pretty much the only bright spot on the Kansas City Royals
He's
this
so
year.
He's so good.
He had one of the most phenomenal – I mean, the season's still technically going on, but he had one of the most – phenomenal stat like breakthroughs in the Yankee game the other day. So if you didn't know, Bobby Witt Jr. is now one of five players in major league history to record a combination of both 30 home runs and 30 plus steals in a single season. So he's also the seventh player to record a 30-30 season in his age 23 or younger.
And he's the second one to do it this year.
Yeah, which is just unbelievable. So the question to Parker is, can you name me? There's including the one this year, but there is six other players to record a 30-30 season in age 23 or younger. Can you name me one of those players to have done that?
I can name you one of them, Ronald Acuña Jr.
That is one of them, yeah. But it is not this year.
Oh, not this year. Oh, then I'm stumped already because I don't.
But that is one of them. Ronald Acuña did it back in 2019. But can you name any other player?
Yeah, we're gonna see. Who else is blazing speed? I will say Enrique Bradfield Jr., the kid that Orioles just drafted, is going to do that.
Oh, yeah?
So quick. He's so fast. It's ridiculous. So as long as he can get contact, that'll be great. Who's fast? Like, did Machado do it at some point?
No.
Okay. Because he's much more a hitter than he is a runner.
Yeah.
No, Mateo doesn't get enough hits. I'm too stuck on Orioles right now. I'm trying to get to all-timers. Judge isn't fast enough. Judge is too bulky. Who are great batters and runners in the league right now? Does Trey Turner have it?
No.
Okay. Trey Turner.
I'll give you one more guess.
All right. Yeah, this is a whiff for me just because I know Acuña did it this year because he's at 30-70 because he's nuts. One last one.
One of them did happen this year, and it's not Acuña.
Really? Someone else did 30-30?
Yeah.
Gunner?
No.
All right. Who was it?
It's Julio Rodriguez from Seattle.
Julio. I love Julio.
So, yeah. We got Julio.
I hate the Mariners. So, love Julio.
So, for players age 23 or younger who've had 30-30 seasons, it's Julio Rodriguez this year, including Bobby Witt Jr. Ronald Acuña Jr. did it back in...
Oh, the ones under 23.
Yeah.
My bad.
Ronald Acuña Jr. did it back in 2019, which I believe is his rookie year.
Yes, correct.
And then Mike Trout did it in 2012. I actually got to watch one of those games back in 2012. Alex Rodriguez had it back in 1998. And then Jose Canseco back in 1988. And then Bobby Bonds back in 1969.
Bobby Bonds? Barry Bonds?
Not Barry Bonds. Bobby Bonds.
I thought you were wrong. Okay,
no,
great.
Bobby
okay.
Bonds. All right, we're going to take a short break here on HQI Sports. When we return, me and Parker are going to be going through our MLB playoff predictions. Stay tuned.
I'll take FM Alternatives for 1,000.
This indie alternative radio station provides listeners with the best of what's next.
What is VIC Radio?
That is correct.
At VIC, the voice of Ithaca College, we prioritize diversity and inclusion. We are working to ensure that more voices are heard. We support and will continue to support the Black Lives Matter movement and victims of police brutality and racial injustice. We've heard you. We support you. We must advocate for change. Black Lives Matter.
VIC Radio.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
Good, you know.
It's so typical of me to talk about.
No, like, no. Tell me what you want to hear. That's why, you know, that's what radio DJs do. Take requests and, you know, you're still talking. Okay. Sounds good.
We take requests. Call in at 607-274-1059 or tweet us at VIC Radio.
Hello from the other side.
Now back to the discussion. You are listening to VIC Weekend Sports Talk Shows.
And welcome back to HQI Sports here on VIC Radio. I'm your host, Josh.
Are you going to make a new one of those?
New one of what?
The rejoin. Or are you just going to let Sossler be the voice of it forever?
Hey, don't disrespect Matt Sossler. But yes, there will be an update coming very shortly. I got like two.
I'm just curious. I know you're busy.
I've been lacking.
But you're Josh Hobbs, and this is HQI Sports. Sorry.
I am Josh Hobbs. This is HQI Sports, joined by Parker Hollidoder in studio, always making sure that we're on top of everything. And we are on top of the MLB playoffs right now, which they're not completely set in stone yet, but we have enough information to
one game left to go tonight. We're going to lock in the playoff picture as it is, because the only thing, just so you know, the only crazy thing that could happen is if the Rangers lose tonight and the Blue Jays win tonight, Astros go up to the 2 seed, Blue Jays go down to the 6 seed because the Rangers have the tiebreaker over them.
Okay.
Rangers go to the 5. So if you think that's going to happen, you can make that swap, but I think we're just going to do the playoff picture as is.
I think that's just the safest bet. I mean, it could happen, but yeah. I'm going to go. We have the playoff bracket literally to our left right now, so we're just going to use that right now. So I'm going to let Parker go first, because obviously Parker has it's fair to say Parker has more stakes in this, so I want to hear what he has to say first.
Am I doing the full thing or just wild cards?
No, I think we're going to just go run through the whole entire table.
Ooh, this is going to be fun. Okay. I'm just going to do the same picks that I did on the weekly pitch, with the exception of now I'm looking at this instead of guessing what's going to happen tonight. So I'm going to go for the wild card games for the American League. I'm going to go Astros over Twins, because the Twins can't have anything nice. It's a 3-game set, just to remind you of the new rules. And then I go Blue Jays over Rays, even though it's in Mickey Mouse's clubhouse, as Dan Fox would call it. I still think the Jays managed to pull it out. They've been very hot lately. So that means it is Astros, Rangers. I always call them the Texans because I hate Texas teams. There's too many of them. Oh, my goodness. he's showing me the Toy Story. Oh, my God. What are you doing? Is this mocap? Is this live mocap? No way.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for any current live listeners. We have
Booger McFarlane.
We have the Toy Story feed pulled up on Disney+.
Is that Siciliano? Is that why he's so small?
No, I don't even know who that was, but basically the Toy Story feed on Disney Plus is absolutely incredible.
Right.
But back to predictions. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. I hate to say it. I'm taking Astros over Rangers. They just have been getting too good at this point in the year, and then that means I absolutely have to take the Orioles in the Battle of the Birds over the Blue Jays. So then it's Orioles Astros. At that point, this is where homerism comes in, because I do think this is a tight series. Orioles have eked out. I believe it's actually a dead even. I think it's 3-3 on the season series. So I will take the Orioles there. I know the inexperience is there, and I know Dusty Baker is a great manager with this Astros team. So this could go either way. I'll take the Orioles in 7, though. Now we go over to the NL side of things. I'm going to go. I love Corbin Burns leading that pitching staff over the Diamondbacks in the wild card. So I have the Brewers making it to the DS. Then it's the Marlins versus the Phillies. As much as I would love the Marlins to upset the Phillies, I do think they used up their magic. My girlfriend's a Phillies fan, so I at least have to take them to win one series, right?
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So then I've got Brewers-Dodgers in that National League Divisional Series, and the Dodgers do not make it out of the NLDS. They never do. They're cursed. Dude, they can't. It's impossible.
They've won how many World Series in the last, like, 5 years?
One.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and they
so they can
dude,
make it out.
Chokers. They're chokers. They were the ones who last year and just got rocked by the Padres, who aren't even in the playoffs this year.
I actually watched more Dodgers games in person than I did watch MLB games on my TV this year.
That's true. But yeah, no. So I'm actually going to take one. I'm going to take the Milwaukee Brewers to make it to the championship series, and then it is Braves Phillies in a rematch of the championship series from last year. Will you stop watching Toy Story?
I can't. It's too addicting.
It's too good. All right, but I will take the Braves over the Phillies, as tight as it is, and then that leaves me with the championship series. And at this point, I have to point out the Braves had a rough September. I don't think they're bad.
Oh, come on.
Dude, it's
they're gonna
crazy
win it
to say.
All. They're gonna win it all.
I know you're tempted to say that. When was it has not happened since the 90s that the number one, actually no, it hasn't happened since the 2014 Red Sox, but we don't talk about that.
Why don't we talk about that?
Because the Red Sox. But the best team historically, it does not happen that the best team in baseball, the best regular season record, wins it all. It doesn't happen. And I think the Brewers find a way to pull off the upset. So then it's Ravens, Orioles, Brewers in the World Series. And at that point, I don't think pitching will get you that far. I will say, Brewers won the season series against the Orioles 2-1. So I do think that is a disadvantage. I think their pitching is so, so good. They are the most dangerous pitching staff in baseball. But the Orioles have a darn good pitching staff themselves. The bullpen might be gassed at this point. No Bautista sucks. Orioles win it all. 6 games.
All right.
Well, where else was I going to land?
Like, come on. Yeah. Like, I could. I just waited 4 minutes. And I knew exactly where Parker was going.
I mean, where else did you expect me to settle? Everything else was cogent analysis, but, you know.
Okay.
Oh, let me watch Toy Story while you make your picks.
Go
ahead.
I'm
watching Toy
Story.
Go
ahead. I'm going to make my predictions
make
now.
Picks.
Okay. So, we're going to start with the American League. Can I at least see my bracket, please? Okay. I'm going to start the American League, and I agree with you on Houston and Minnesota. I think Houston, I think. Honestly,
the Twins haven't won a playoff game.
Well, they
in
play
years.
In the, and they play in the AL Central, so they just they have to be in the postseason. But we all know the Astros are better, so I'll take the Astros to win that over the Twins. I'm also going to take. I think Toronto Tampa Bay is going to be close, but
that'll be a fun three.
I'm going to go Tampa Bay just because they've had so much postseason experience in recent years, and
true.
I think. Although Toronto is really talented, I'm going to lean with the experience and go Tampa Bay.
That's very fair.
So, back up top, you got Texas and Astros. Battle of Texas. Battle between George Bush and whoever, you know, who supports Texas. I don't know. Astros again. I really don't like betting against the Astros.
Dusty Baker's a great postseason manager.
Well, and it's just like the Astros are basically like the Patriots or like the Eagles of the baseball. Like they just don't lose in the postseason. So I'm going to go Astros there. And then Orioles and Rays on the bottom. Again, I really want to go Tampa Bay, but I'll support Parker for one series. I'll say the Orioles beat Tampa Bay in the DS.
That's fair.
Put
and
in the Orioles,
championship series,
yeah,
is Orioles, the, Astros,
Orioles,
I know
Astros, and I'm going to go Astros.
That's
I just
fair.
I think Astros.
How many games though? How many games? They don't sweep us.
No,
the Orioles don't get swept famously.
You'll win one game. You'll win
Whoa,
one game.
4-1.
Four
okay,
one. I think the Astros are once again like bound to be. They're going to be. I have them in the World Series. So
okay. So you're going to go. I wonder what you're going to do with the National League. But go ahead.
The National League is a little bit more tough for me. So first series, Arizona Milwaukee. I'm going to go Milwaukee there. I think, like you said, Milwaukee's got a phenomenal pitching staff. And Arizona was, I think, kind of a shocker team this year.
Corbin Carroll is incredible. Their bats have been on fire. But
he's one player.
Exactly. Like, they've had individual moments of brilliance that have gotten them this far, but it's totally fair to say they're outclassed.
So I'll go Milwaukee over Arizona, and then on the bottom we have Philadelphia and Miami. I'm going to go – that's a tough one. I kind of want to go Miami in this one, but I am going to go with Philly. Not because of Parker's girlfriend, but I do think Philly is.
Fish.
Philly's got, you know, they got some unbelievable talent with Schwarber and Bryce Harper and Reese Hoskins. So I think Philly, I think they're going to just.
You don't fear Luis Arraez?
I mean, Luis Arraez is probably the most consistent hitter in baseball, but in terms of, again, it's one player. That's the thing that people forget. It's one player. Phillies over Miami, so that brings me to Milwaukee and the Dodgers. I got the Dodgers beating Milwaukee in the DS. I can't bet against the Dodgers. I'm sorry. Philly and Atlanta. That one is actually really tough.
It's a rematch of the championship series from last year.
Yeah. Damn, I want to go Philly. I might go Philly in that one.
Philly.
I feel like Atlanta probably, when they're playing the best ball, is the best team in baseball this year.
They've absolutely slipped. Like Strider has an ERA of 5 over the last month.
Right, and the huge thing when it comes to baseball postseason is who's hot at the end of the year.
Yes.
That's honestly probably the biggest factor. So I'll go Philly over Atlanta in the DS, putting Philly and the Dodgers in the championship round. I'll take the Dodgers, which puts it.
Dodgers, Astros. Just the biggest brands you picked.
But they always win. That's the point. Always win. So, World Series, Dodgers, Astros. Give me the Dodgers.
Okay.
I think the Dodgers win it all this year.
How many games?
That was a good question. I think Dodgers win in 6. I think Dodgers wins 4-2.
I like that.
I could see the Dodgers losing a couple games early, but I think throughout the back end of the series, I think the Dodgers win it comfortably.
I don't just like your bracket. I have a fun little thought experiment for you because we've been talking about how it's only one player on some of these teams. I know that I can only name one guy on the Royals. I can only name Bobby Witt Jr. And that's not even an insult.
No, it's not.
I mean,
it's fair.
I could name Vinny Pasquantino, but he's not there anymore.
No, he is. He's just injured.
No, that's Vinny. I'm talking about the guy that you traded to the Yankees last year who then sucked against you, or 2 years ago.
You mean Benintendi?
Yeah, Benintendi. Andrew Benintendi.
That was to New York.
Yeah.
He's now on the...
He's now a Red, I believe. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but something like that. But now I'm interested, how many Orioles can you name?
I can name, honestly, probably 5 or 6.
I want to hear this, because we've got time.
Right
now? Yeah.
Right now?
Because I'm curious, because like the just one guy argument, I can name a bunch of Astros, I can name a bunch of Rangers, I can name a bunch of Rays. Like, we're talking about these, like, I can name a bunch of Brewers, a bunch of Phillies, a bunch of Braves.
I can't name, like, some of, like, the most, like... super recent Orioles, but like I can name
all time. I mean guys on the roster right now.
Okay. I mean, obviously you have Gunnar Henderson. Obviously have Adley Rutschman. You have you trade away your good closer that actually played for the Royals for a little bit. Lopez. You trade him away.
Well, we have him back now, but yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. So you have Lopez.
We just
still
DFA'd him, but yeah. Or no, we just sent him down, but yeah.
You also stole Ryan O'Hearn from the Royals, who
That's
now
true.
I mean I oh my god, the Royals are just so stupid. He was so good. He was whatever. O'Hearn.
Comeback player of the year with us this year, apparently.
You guys have Aaron Hicks as well, which I think is really funny. I can name honestly
yeah,
quite
no.
a
You know what? No, that is what I wanted to see, because like that is what we need in order to contend, because we are now a big enough name that people take us seriously.
Well, you at least, I mean, you have a team that is very rootable. Like, you have a team that, like, everyone likes to
root for. No one hates us. It's crazy. We're like Shohei.
It's a good.
Did you see that poll that was done, which was like fans and players who are the most likable players in baseball? It was Shohei won with 97% of people saying that they have no reason to dislike him. Adley was 2 with 95.
There we go.
Like, so he's just been a guy who gives off
everyone,
good vibes.
You know what? Everyone just likes Baltimore, you know? Everyone just likes Baltimore.
The team, not the city.
No, a lot of
people have issues with the city. I love the city.
We're not talking about the city. We're talking about the Orioles. But we're also got to move on because we have some NFL games we got to break down. We're going to take a short break here on HQI Sports. When we come back, me and Parker will be breaking down Dolphins and Bills as well as Patriots and Cowboys. So stay tuned.
La la la. I love to ride my bike so I can feel the wind through my hair.
Hey, kid! Wear a helmet!
No way, Grandpa, because then I'd look like an idiot. Ah!
The majority of bicycle deaths are due to head injuries. Helmets reduce the odds of a head injury by 50%. Don't be a dummy. Wear a helmet.
Missed that last song? Want to check out our music blog? Well, then log on to www.vicradio.org. See our daily schedule, take a look at our wide selection of specialty programming, and learn more about our annual 50-hour marathon. That's vicradio.org, your online home for the best of what's next.
We have an app.
Take VIC Radio with you on your iOS device. That's right. The best of what's next is available wherever you go. Current song information, in-app access to social media, sleep timer and alarm clock settings, it's all there. Download the VIC Radio app from the App Store today.
Now back to the discussion. You are listening to VIC Weekend Sports Talk Shows.
And welcome back once again to HQI Sports live here on VIC Radio. Quick little update before we get into any of our NFL prediction games so far on the weekly docket. But, I mean, I'm sorry. I keep getting memorized. Perfect word. I am entranced by this Toy Story broadcast that we got going on Disney Plus for the Atlanta and Jacksonville game. I mean, Parker, tell me I'm wrong. This is a monumental moment in NFL history as we have it pulled up to the side here. I mean, I think we'll probably discuss this a little bit later in the episode, but in terms of like the alternative content that the NFL is now producing with both Nickelodeon and now Disney, I mean, what's next in terms of like, I mean, what could we potentially see next in terms of just absolute? I mean, I'm literally staring at an alien pointing a camera at me. So, I mean, I think anything else is possible.
I think the alien was just one of the camera people working the game.
Oh yeah, you know. All camera people in the NFL have three heads or three eyes, you know. So, but anyway, we're going to be getting into our NFL Week 4 preview for the NFL coming up at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. We got only two games on the docket this week, just because we don't really have too much time for any other games. But we're going to be starting with, I would say, easily, I think, my game of the week besides my personal team. We got Miami going on the road to take on Buffalo in New York. Parker, give me your initial thoughts on, I mean, Miami comes into this game obviously off a 70-point performance against Denver last week, and then you got Buffalo, who absolutely curb-stomped the Washington Commanders last week. So both teams come into this game with high-flying offenses. Miami defense, though, is definitely underrated, I would say, just in terms of how many playmakers they got in that secondary as well as on the D-line. I feel like most people are leaning Miami early on in this game just because of how, I mean, there's probably some recency bias with that. I'm not up to date with what the line is for this game, but Parker, just give me your initial thoughts on Miami and Buffalo.
It is a really tough game because usually after a week like last week, one of these teams would be coming in super overrated. And technically, I guess you could argue that the Dolphins are the more overrated team coming into this game, but both of them played over what was expected of them last week. I know you had the Commanders outright beating the Bills, I believe.
No, I did not.
Did you just have it being super close?
I had it close.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not trying to slander you. I'm just
Honestly had to think back because I think...
I was thinking
of doing it just because the Bills that come into that game...
Sam Howell's great. Sam Howell's really good.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
no,
Sam Howell's really good.
Sam Howell is your guy. Howell is not my guy.
He threw four interceptions.
He also got sacked, I think, 9 times.
It was so bad.
9 times.
9 times. God, I love that movie. Okay. When did we become Mike and Harvey from Suits? Is that a reference you get? Have you seen Suits?
I only recently get that because I get recommended their videos in my YouTube feed like every other day.
Oh, see, I grew up on Suits. Suits is amazing. Regardless. I'm Mike, you're Harvey. That's fair because you're a Chiefs fan. That makes sense.
Bills Dolphins.
Bills
Parker.
Dolphins. Sorry, I get sidetracked too easily. Bills Dolphins. The way you raised your hand there. Pay attention, fool. No, but I think the Dolphins obviously are coming in a little over their skis because obviously they just hung 70 on the Broncos, and the Bills defense is not the Broncos defense because Vance Joseph isn't there to sabotage them. But
Sean Payton.
Yeah. No, Vance Joseph is the Broncos defensive coordinator.
No, I'm just saying Sean Payton. People thought Sean Payton was going to solve all issues in Denver. Clearly not.
No, that's fair. But, Sean McDermott, another Sean opponent. But I do really think Mike McDaniel, just the coaching battle, Mike McDaniel is the better head coach right now. Josh Allen is still a slightly better quarterback, but the numbers say Tua's already over 1,000 yards.
Wait. You would put Josh Allen as of right now still over Tua?
Barely. It's like one slot.
Really?
I would put it, the physical tools have to be put into account. Because Josh Allen can, again, when he is not asked to do everything, he's really good.
I think that's a little bit of lefty bias coming from you.
You know what? That's probably fair.
You've seen the inverted videos of Tua throwing righty.
Oh, it looks so much more beautiful.
It's like John Elway.
Look, and again, I am one of those people who I am now coming around. I have to acknowledge Tua looks really good. When it is schemed for him, he's very much in that conversation of the guys who, like, when the scheme works out, he is exemplary.
Well, he's, I think, the ultimate, like, I almost call him, like, Dak Prescott plus.
Yes.
Because
I don't think he could survive with a bad coach.
When the script is going accurately and is going right, Tua is easily a top five quarterback in the league.
Yes.
The thing is, we haven't seen what Tua looks like under pressure this year. And I think this is going to be a game where we could see the script not go according to plan because although the Bills can be incredibly shaky at times, like you said, Parker, I'm probably still taking Josh Allen over Tua. I want to see why you said that. In terms of Josh Allen versus Tua, I've seen Josh Allen be able to come from behind and make big-time throws. Not saying Tua can't do that. We just haven't seen it this season.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The fact that he's already over 1,000 passing yards after three games is ridiculous. There has to be a come down at some point. And I can absolutely see the argument that it could be this week. The Bills are favored for a reason. It's in Buffalo. I'm pretty sure it's in Buffalo.
It is Buffalo.
Yeah. They just broke ground on their new stadium. Congrats to them. Side note. But I also think that the Bills are due for a low point on their offense. I think they've been a little too good. I was expecting it last week. I'm definitely expecting it this week. Gabe Davis is going to disappear at some point. He always does.
Yeah, that's good. I mean.
Now, there are guys who make up for it. I believe it's Khalil Shakir, something like that. Josh Allen has another weapon at his access. And Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox make up a lethal tight end duo. James Cook and Damian Harris have been running the rock really well.
Here's the other thing, is that they're so Stephon Diggs reliant. They have other guys. They have Gabe Davis, they have Dalton Kincaid, they have Dawson Knox. But, like, Josh Allen seemingly doesn't use them as much as I feel like he should be. And maybe this is a game where he kind of, you know, has to spread the wealth a bit because the Dolphins have guys that can take guys like Stephon Diggs out of the game, not just in the secondary, but they have great pass rushers. They have, I mean, both defenses honestly have great playmakers, although the Bills will be without Jordan Poyer in this game. They'll actually have to start DeMar Hamlin, which will be another big storyline. But just giving our predictions here because we are just a little short on time. It's really bugging me because I do feel like the Bills are probably favored here because they are at home. But it also feels like in recent years, Miami has kind of been that annoying divisional opponent in the side of the Bills that really has given them trouble. The only thing is I feel like the Dolphins come to this game a little bit too hot because of the recent performance. So I don't like to do this, but I am going to pick Buffalo. in a fairly high-scoring game. I say Buffalo wins 38, Dolphins 31. I think it's a shootout. I think it's also going to be helping Miami that the weather is fairly decent in Buffalo right now. We're actually getting some absolutely lovely weather here in the South Hill as well.
Yeah, Central New York looks great right now.
So I'm going to take Buffalo in a high-scoring game, and I think Miami kind of falls. They kind of get you know brought back down to reality in this one.
Ooh, Josh, you do not follow the betting trends, my friend. This is a low-scoring game.
I don't bet. I'm smart with my money, unlike Parker here.
Dude, I'm winning this year. I'm actually doing pretty well overall.
overall.
No, it's only 2 weeks into me being able to legally bet, so it's too early to say how well I'm doing.
Point being, just give him a year, see where he's at.
But again, I gotta say, the reason I say that is this feels more like a low scoring game based on the trends. Like this feels like a 24-27 kind of shootout. Not an actual shootout, like a defensive powerhouse standstill where both of these guys regress to the mean. And I think at this point, it has to be slowed down a little bit. I think there's going to be a couple break open plays. And I'm going to go, one of these teams does break 30. I'm going to have the Dolphins.
You just said it was low scoring.
For one of them. Okay. No, you're right. No, that's fair of you. But I'm going to say Dolphins 30, Bills 23.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So you'll take the Dolphins?
I take the Dolphins, yeah.
Okay, so we're split.
We got 5 minutes for Patriots Cowboys. Let's do it.
This is truly one, I think, the most interesting game of the week. Not to say that the Dolphins-Bills isn't. I think Dolphins-Bills is just a high-powered matchup. But these are two teams that you really don't see play all too often because obviously the conferences. But in terms of this is – there's so many different storylines I could take away from this game. It's the Zeke revenge game. This is the battle for who's really America's team game. And in terms of who I think initially is my pick, I feel as though, man, if the Cowboys hadn't lost to my cousin last week, I actually probably would lean New England heavy, even more so. That's a Josh Dobbs joke, by the way. In terms of Patriots Cowboys, though, let me just check where the game is once again. Where is this?
Patriots Cowboys is in Dallas, I believe.
It is in Dallas. That's another problem for.
Bill Belichick travels well. He travels like a beast.
He does. The defense always does travel. The thing is, though, Mac Jones has been so subpar this year.
He's horrible.
He's not.
And their O-line is banged up.
Honestly, here's the thing. I don't think Mac Jones is terrible, but he plays like he just play like. There's so many drives. I will look at Mac Jones and be like, you don't have to like. There's again, he doesn't have a ton of weapons, so I get it. But like, if he is Mac Jones, like who should be a franchise quarterback, he should be making more plays. I think I am going to lean Cowboys here, but I want to hear what you have to say first, Parker.
I think you raise a couple of really good points. Of course, I want to say Patriots here, but this is one of those that I'm just kind of staying away from, especially on the line. It's a Cowboys -6 in Dallas, which means that it's really Patriots +3. Like, it's weird. It's a weird game, especially after the Cowboys coming off such a rough performance against
the
Cardinals.
That's the thing is, I think Dallas is going to be heavily motivated coming off that loss.
And that's where I settle on, is that I think this ends up being, I think this is tough in the first half. I think this is really, really close. I think it's probably like a 10-3 ball game at the half. And I think the Cowboys busted open coming out of the half because I think they're angry at that point. I think it starts clicking.
And that's the thing. I know Dallas's offense can be inconsistent, but I know they can put up points in a burst, whether it be a defensive turnover or Dak actually looking decent on a drive or just hand the ball off to Pollard or any one of the running backs. I haven't seen this New England offense be able to consistently generate offensive production. And that starts with Mac Jones. I know, obviously, he doesn't have a lot of playmakers on the outside, but in terms of Mac Jones, you know, wanting to be the long-term starting quarterback for New England, he has this. If he's able to go into Dallas and beat the Cowboys, that's the biggest win of his career by far. Like, I don't care about any other past victories. This is arguably, I think, Mac Jones' make it or break it game. Because seriously, Dallas has come into this year with a lot of expectations, especially after those first two wins of the season. Obviously, the media loves to inflate Dallas, but seriously, if Mac is able to go into Jerry World and actually look like a first round quarterback, New England should be able to win this game. That's my point. But we talk about Mac Jones. It's like, is he able to actually get consistent production? He usually can't.
Yeah.
So in terms of my prediction, I am going to go Dallas, but I feel like Mac Jones and the Patriots could make a little bit of a late comeback, so it's not going to be as far apart as I was originally thinking. I'll say Dallas wins this one. It's a low-scoring game for sure. 24 Dallas, Patriots 16.
I agree.
I don't agree. I don't think this is a low scoring affair. I think the Cowboys find a way to bust it open. Against Belichick? I think it's going to be a couple costly Mac Jones turnovers. I think people have overcorrected from the Trevon Diggs injury that we talked about last week, how it's easy to overreact and how it is a loss, but it's not a crippling loss. So I think at that point, I think it might be a Stephon Gilmore revenge game. Not revenge game, because everything ended very well in New England, but you know what I mean.
No, yeah.
I think it's the return game.
There's a lot of, like, former players, yeah. like, in this. It's an interesting one. Zeke, Stephon Gilmore.
So I'll go.
I don't know.
It's interesting. I'm going to go Cowboys with 4 touchdowns and field goal. Yeah, that's 31. Patriots 13.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
I think this is a grody one. I think this one's hard to watch.
Let me ask you this as a quick follow, because I know we got a different 2-minute warning we're doing today. If Mac Jones goes into Dallas and just completely lays an egg, like, when do the Mac Jones benching conversations begin to start?
I think they've already started. We're being totally fair.
But they don't have anyone. They got rid of Zappy.
Yeah. But now they have they signed the kid from the Cowboys. They have Will Breer.
Who?
He looked really good in preseason. There's a conversation.
Did he go to West Virginia or someone?
But I mean, I don't think Belichick signs up for a tank. But I do think that it starts being a conversation. Do they look for a Drake May or something like that from the later round? Do they?
But that's what Mac Jones was. And I'm not. Let me say this. I am not a Drake May guy.
That's fair.
I think Drake May can be a quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he can be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
But I'm just talking about one of those project guys, late first, early second round, one of those guys who's not necessarily ready to start right now.
Why not try and tank for freaking Caleb Williams?
Because you can't get him.
Why not?
Because there's worse teams, and Bill Belichick won't sign up for tanking. Robert Kraft won't. Bill Belichick won't. Regardless, the New England Patriots are a mystery. I will never understand them.
Let me ask you this very quickly before we go to our final segment. Do you have a bad beat for week four this week in terms of a game that maybe you should stay away from, or a game on the flip side that you're really liking this week?
That's a really great question, Josh. The one game that, like, scares me more than anything is definitely Bengals-Titans.
Okay.
Bengals-Titans, it's in Tennessee. Bengals are favored, but just both teams are so messy. Titans are undervalued because they just got cooked by the Browns.
Yeah.
Bengals are overvalued. Bengals are not overvalued. Bengals are probably properly valued because people are overvaluing the level, the past success, but undervaluing what's happened so far this year.
Yeah.
So they're probably right where they need to be. But, like, it's 2.5. The line's 2.5 in favor of the Bengals, but home team stuff. Vrabel loves being an underdog against the spread. It's just messy, and I don't want to touch that game with a 10-foot pole.
Fair enough. And I think I'm inclined to agree with that. I thought you were going to potentially say Chiefs-Jets, which is a very interesting line.
Chiefs-Jets is technically a trap game for bettors, but yeah. I just decided to stay away from it. I actually bet the Chiefs.
Really?
I got them at 9.
There you go.
Yeah, I bet Chiefs 9 minus 9, and if you bite me on this.
You finally come around on Mahomes?
Well, if you hit me on this, I get to be mad at you. So, yeah, we'll see. I think it's going to be a good game. Taylor Swift's going to be there again.
Oh, yeah. Love a little Kelce
yeah,
Swift
reunion. Aaron Rodgers is also going to be watching the game, so it's going to be fun.
Who cares about Aaron Rodgers? Anyway, we're going to go to we're doing a little bit of a different, you know, 2-minute warning segment for today's episode. I mentioned the idea of doing something with Josh Dobbs, and of course, Barker was like, we can't do that. I was like, okay.
You didn't mention that at all.
Yes, I did.
When?
I sent you a DM on Instagram.
Oh, I don't check my Instagram.
Oh, my God. You've been checking your phone the whole episode, but you can't check my Instagram DM?
Yeah, I've been making sure that this segment is ready.
Oh, okay. All right, Barker, I know you've been talking to me about this little – you called it a little game here, so I don't even know where you're going to go with this, but I'm excited to see what you've cooked up for me for this little final segment you got.
We're going to play a little game called Collinsworth or Taylor Swift.
Okay.
I'm going to read you quotes, right, and you're going to tell me who said them. If it was Chris Collinsworth,
okay,
or a
like
lyric
this.
From a Taylor Swift song.
All right, I like this.
You ready? We're going to start. We get paid to play, and people expect us to perform.
That's got to be Collinsworth.
That is Collinsworth. Okay. That's a good start. All right. You can't believe how hard it is to be yourself.
I feel like you're going to try to trick me. It's Collinsworth again.
That is Chris Collinsworth again. That's pretty good. Rip the Band-Aid off and skip town like a a-hole outlaw.
That's gotta be Taylor Swift.
That is Taylor Swift. You're pretty
three
good. You're pretty
three,
good.
Man.
Pretty good.
Call me Kelce.
You know I'm really bad at apologies.
Oh, absolutely Taylor Swift.
That's Chris Collinsworth.
No!
That's Chris Collinsworth.
You're telling me Taylor Swift has never said the sentence, I'm really bad at apologies?
It's specifically, you know I'm really bad at apologies.
Oh,
I don't know.
Whatever.
Hey, there's tricks in here. You know there's tricks in here.
I'm 3 for 4.
This dorm was once a madhouse.
This dorm was once a madhouse.
And for the record, I'm not like mimicking how
Swift?
These were said. That is Taylor Swift.
Okay.
I'm not going to mimic how these were said. I'm going to try to mask it as well as possible.
Okay.
I've never been a natural. All I do is try.
Collinsworth.
White wide receiver, but no. Taylor Swift.
Damn. Okay.
All right.
How many more?
There's lots more, but we'll wrap it up once we get to like the end of the show.
All right.
I'm not going to deny it. I walk around with $100 bills hanging out of my pocket.
Collinsworth.
That's Collinsworth. Yep. I love that
That's
one.
That's so Collinsworth.
The only time I get praised is for being critical, but I don't want that to be my sole reputation.
Swift.
Collinsworth.
Darn.
I had to sprinkle in reputation there. All right. If the story's over, why am I still writing pages?
Swift?
That is Swift.
Okay.
Very good. You booked the night train for a reason.
Collinsworth.
Taylor Swift.
Darn. Okay.
I think I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending.
Collinsworth.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, my goodness.
Gave you three in a row. I had to mess with you there. All right. People see right through a phony.
Collinsworth. Yep.
Daniel Jones has enough skills to play in the NFL at a high level.
Why is this the hardest one? Collinsworth. Okay, thank God. So I really wanted to go Taylor Swift because, like, did you really say that about Daniel Jones? I was like, oh, okay.
All right.
That was a great segment, though. Wait, I respect
I've got,
that.
I've got two more for you. All it's right. Hard to fight when the fight ain't fair.
Gotta be Taylor Swift.
That's Taylor Swift. Last one. You did a number on me, but honestly, baby, who's counting?
Man. Say it again.
You did a number on me, but honestly, baby, who's counting?
Taylor Swift. Yes.
You know what? You did a really good job.
I think credit to
the original TikTok that I got that idea from. Those are mostly like quotes that I found for it, but that was a great idea that I found on TikTok. I opened it yesterday, and that segment was playing. That was so good.
That was a very, very well put together last segment there. And honestly, I would have never put together how similar Collinsworth and Taylor Swift actually do sound.
The birth.
They're
of it
so
was
different
like,
people.
Yeah.
At like ultimately, but like. They kind of are the same person in a way.
And the birth of it was, I believe it was him on Sunday calling the Chiefs game who was putting in all the stupid Taylor Swift jokes.
Yeah.
So that was the birth of this.
People can't stand Collinsworth.
I love Chris Collinsworth.
I do too.
Like, he's an overreactor. It's honestly the same vein as the people who hate Skip Bayless. But like,
same with Joe Buck as well.
Yeah, exactly. Peyton Manning hates Joe Buck, and I think that's so funny.
Yeah, Joe Buck is, that's a whole different conversation, but... Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of HQI Sports. We'll be back here at the same time next Sunday, 11 a.m. here on VIC Radio. Wish you guys a happy rest of your Sunday as the NFL slate is set to come up at the 1 o'clock hour. Saying slow long, I'm your host Josh Hobbs, joining the studio with Parker and Hohenowner. We'll see you next Sunday.